Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got in the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Okay? They caught nothing. Now, this first part of the scripture is significant because here they are. There are seven of them. Of the 12 apostles, these seven were fishermen. Okay? And it's kind of appropriate. Ginger says, "Why don't you wear that shirt?" And it's when Kay and Karina picked me out for me for Pride, and it turns out that it's a fishing shirt. Right? And so you look, and it's got the little loop here to hook things to, and it's got the little flaps on the back. And what does it say?
God is love.
God is love. So this is appropriate. It's a fishing shirt, okay? So Peter, here the seven are, they were fishermen. Why would Jesus pick fishermen? Because they're determined. They're set in what they do. They don't usually give up. But here they are, there's seven of them out there. They are discouraged. How do we know they're discouraged? Because they're going to go fishing. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others say, "We'll go with you." Big deal. But what it is Jesus is gone. He's been resurrected, yeah. But he's going to go again. And so they're discouraged. They don't know what they're going to do. So what do? They go back to fishing. They go back to what they know. We never do that. Do we? Oh, why?
Familiar.
They go back to it. And so it's what basically they're saying is they've lost hope. And so they're going to go back to fishing. So they do. They go back to fishing. They're skilled fishermen. But what does it say? That night they caught
nothing.
Not even a minnow. They caught nothing. And so what happens is, they're determined. They worked all night, but they caught nothing. Okay? And so John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." They told him earlier, but they lost track of it. He says, "I'm the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So here they are, they're out fishing. Apart from Jesus. What did they catch?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a thing. Luke 5:5 says, "Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing.'" This is when Jesus called them into ministry. Okay. "We've worked all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And again, what did they do? They caught fish. Okay? In John 4:6, it says, Early in the morning, what time was it?
Early
in the morning, okay. Because they fished all night, okay. "Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friend, haven't you any fish?'"
No.
Did he know if they had fish or not? Of course, he knows everything. And they said, "No." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Now, the one we read in Luke, it said that too, didn't he? He told them, "Throw it on the right side and you'll catch fish." Okay? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, in the Luke one, the net started to break. But this is said, they caught so many fish that it was full. They couldn't haul it in. There were so many fish. Because Jesus said what? Throw it on the right side. Why didn't they throw it on the right side in the beginning?
Because
It worked last time. They don't usually throw the nets on the right side. Why not? Because that's where the left side, the right side is where the rudder is and the oar. And so the net gets tangled in it. And so, you know, so it's not any magic thing. People will go, oh, you got to pick the right side. It wouldn't have mattered. Jesus could have said, throw it off the back. Throw it off the front. Put a bucket in the water. They'll paddle in there. But throw it on the right side. And isn't it interesting? Success was only a boat width apart, away. It's only a boat width away. This side, they caught nothing. Over here, they catch nets full. And we would be surprised in our lives how often success is just a little ways away.
Amen.
But do we give up? Do we quit? Well, they did.
Sometimes.
They went out fishing. You know? And we need to remember that apart from Jesus, you can't do anything. And so they did. Then in John 7:8, then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, but they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Not far, at the length of a football field from shore. Okay? And it says he put his clothes back on. Some scriptures, some verses say that he was naked or that he had stripped, but it really means is that he had stripped down for work. When they worked hard, they built up a sweat, they took the clothes off. Okay? Now, the Jewish people, they did not like public nudity. So that's not what it's talking about. He probably had a swim trunk on. But he jumped into, but it says immediately, as soon as he heard. Is Peter impulsive at all?
Yes.
Oh, isn't he the one that climbed out of the boat and walked on the water then sank? Yes. Did all kinds of, you know, when they went to the tomb, he ran to the tomb and ran right in.
Yes.
Now, Peter's that impulsive one. It didn't change. He did it again. Immediately, as soon as he heard it was Jesus, he jumped in the water.
Yep.
That was 100 yards. I'd be dead 10 feet out. You know, some scholars say, well, it was shallower there. So he was helping pull the boat in. We don't know. All we know is he jumped out of the boat. And he was helping him in there. And again, that impulsive nature. Do we change a whole lot?
You tell us no.
I mean, you know, I can't remember his name, but he says, Will Rogers, I think it was, said people change, but not much. You know, does the leopard change its spots? No. And so here he is. He's impulsive. He's jumping to the water. Partly he's excited. I mean, if you hadn't seen Jesus in a while, wouldn't you be excited? Mm-hmm. He jumped in, helps pull the boat inside. At 9 and 10, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Excuse me. Okay, when they landed, they saw a fire. Okay, Peter must have thought about the fire of denial when he was in that courtyard and they were standing around the fire trying to keep warm. And they said, "You're one of them, aren't you?" And what did Peter say? "Oh, no, 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 no." And they go over to somebody else and says, "You're one of them." And they go, "No, no, 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 no. Yes, you are. You're one of them." And he swears and says, "No, I'm not." And the rooster crows. And then he cries and weeps and goes away. Now here he is, the Lord's here again. He's coming up on the shore and there's a fire and there's fish and bread on it. Where did the fish and the bread come from?
Jesus made it.
Jesus made it, and Jesus caught it. And here he is. He's cooking breakfast for the seven. Just before the crucifixion, what did he do? He washed the feet of the disciples. Now he's fixing breakfast. But he doesn't do it all himself. He says, bring some of the fish you caught. Karina, I need some of the fish you caught. And he takes it and he gives it to them. That always fascinates me because I think about it. Here he is. He makes the eighth person. He's made breakfast for eight on burning coals. Do you find a big slab, build a fire underneath it? How exactly do you cook fish for eight and bread?
Sticks.
You know? Kind of like a, what is it, Del Taco? Taco salad, fish tacos. How do you do it? But Jesus is there on the shore waiting for them with breakfast ready. They just went out fishing because they were discouraged. And in spite of that, Jesus says, bring some of yours ashore too. Bring some of them along. Okay? And so Jesus was saying to them, I'm not mad. I'm not concerned. Look, I fixed your breakfast. If you're mad at somebody, do you tend to go fix them breakfast?
No.
Not really. If they're in a group, do you tend to go sit and talk by them?
No.
No. But Jesus says, come on, come have some breakfast. Bring some of your fish, too. They're valuable. Your efforts are valuable. Even though you're kind of messing up here, they're valuable. So he says, get some of your fish. So in 11 and 12, it says, Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was filled with large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not broken. Notice it says 153. Remember that, okay? Even with so many, the net was not broken. I got lost now. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. They knew it was the Lord. Have you ever been in that situation where you knew, but you want to pretend you don't? No. Because why? They're probably embarrassed. They went fishing. They gave up. They'd quit. They were discouraged. And Jesus is saying, come on, guys. Let's have breakfast. But it's also that it says it was 153 fish. Why 153? Some say, well, that was how many different varieties of fish were in the lake. That represents the, it's a number. If John was doing the counting, he'd divide it up 753 divided by 7. Matthew was doing it, he'd go by the Jewish tables and so on. It's a number. They know how many fish they caught. They caught 153. That's nice. But we're called to be fishermen, right? Mm-hmm. How many fish have you caught?
A lot.
You don't know. You don't know. Maybe Karina caught Kay. Kay caught JD. JD caught 5 people that nobody knows. Because JD moved to California.
Oh.
Or Bountiful. Or Magna. Oh, that was not a good, pleasant thought. Okay? But the thing of it is, they're gone. We're still here. But when the end time comes, when it's all said and done, we'll know. We'll know. But for right now, we don't know How many? We don't know if it was 10, 12, 100, 3, 1, half of 1.
Half of
1?
No.
Copy. Huh?
You caught
you.
Because we have to be disciples before we can be disciples.
Right. That's right. I was reading, looking at a book the other day, and it was talking about revival. And it says you have to be revived before you can be revived.
Amen.
And that we're doing. And so, and the other thing is, you know, we go out, they were fishing for live fish. We're fishing for dead fish. People who are dead to sin, who come alive with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So there's a difference. 13 and 14, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, one more. Keep going. Jesus, okay, there we go. I'm trying an experiment where I'm putting a message between where I'm supposed to be on the so I get lost. Okay. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. He came and he not only cooked breakfast, it says he came and took the bread and gave it to them. He waited on them. He waited on them. That would be like going to a Barbra Streisand concert and having her come out and serve you drinks beforehand. Isn't it? It's not likely to happen. But she brought the bread and some of the same with the fish. He not only cooked it, he served it. Is that an example or what? That is the true example. Jesus is still being a fisherman. He's being courteous. He brings the food to you. Okay? And so, you know, we go from there. Jesus took care of them. He washed their feet. Now he's serving, cooking and serving dinner. If you have cooking over charcoal, how do you wash the dishes? Do you get a clean rock each time? Crazy thought. Never mind.
No, I think about
those. Well, that's because you have a weird mind like me.
I do.
Yeah. Not that you're weird. You have a weird mind like me.
No, I'm weird too.
Oh, okay. 21:15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, you notice I've got love me underlined. Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. The reason I had those underlined is because Jesus says to Peter, do you truly love me more than these? There's a word thing going on here. How many of you know what it is? It's what? Agape and phileo. Agape is a deep love. Mm-hmm. Phileo is the kind of a friendship, affection, love. They're different. This is what Kay and Karina have for each other is agape.
Oh.
Okay? What I have with my friend Bill is phileo. You know, it's a different kind of love. And so Jesus is saying, do you love me with this deep affection? And Peter is going, I love you with the friendship affection. And then Jesus says what? Feed my sheep. Then in verse 10, it says again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now you notice he never says, I love you. He never says, J.D., I love you. He says, J.D., you know all things. You know I love you. Okay? Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Notice he said something different there. Take care of my sheep. But Jesus still said, do you agape me? And Peter says, I phileo you. Okay? The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This time, Jesus asked, do you phileo me? Came down to Peter's level. And Peter said, yes, I do. But you notice he said, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, different things. He didn't say the same things because he's called to take care of the church. Mm-hmm. In the church, you have sheep, fully grown. Mm-hmm. You have lambs who need a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. We're still on the bottle. Mm-hmm. Okay? We have goats who are buttheads. Okay? Until we catch them. I got caught finally. Okay? It took a long time. All right? But that's what he's saying. You've got to be called to stick around and take care of my kids. That's what we're called to do, to take care of the kids.
Amen.
And he's asking Peter, are you going to do it? Do you love me? But in light of all that, do you love me even more than you love them? And to Peter's credit, he said, you know everything, Lord. You know that I love you.
True.
And it's true. Jesus knows everything.
Amen.
So why would he get in a big deal there, with that? Okay? So then he shifts gears. And in 18 and 19, he says, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. Didn't we tend to do that?
Yeah.
Mom always told us, don't go by the river. Where did we go?
By the river.
By the river, okay? Where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you. When you are old. Peter lived another 47 years after this incident. He lived till he was about, he died at about 67 years in the year 67 BC, AD. Okay? He did not see the destruction of the temple. Okay? But he says, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. What he's telling Peter is, I need to warn you now. What lies ahead of you is not pleasant. By stretch out your hands, what they're saying is they would dress them, they put a yoke on them, and they took ropes and chains up around their wrist, and they stretched them out. And then they carried them. And so with that on their hand, on them, they would parade them through the streets. They would take them sometimes through the longest way that they could, especially if they were condemned by something or for something. And they would go down the street hoping that somebody might say, hey, I know Ginger. She's not all that bad. You know? Or she didn't do that. In a hope that it, might have happened. But they would lead them where they don't want to go. Where are they headed? The cross. The cross. And what he was saying was, and tradition has it that Peter was crucified. And what did he do? He asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus was. Didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death Peter would glorify God. And he said to him, follow me. Don't get sidetracked. Yes, it's not going to be pleasant. But follow me and glorify God. in how you do. I remember seeing a thing about an old Catholic priest who was in a dungeon with a younger guy, and they were both condemned to be burned on the stake the next day. And the young priest went to light a candle and burned his finger. And he said, how am I going to handle this tomorrow when I can't even stand to be burned with a candle? And the old priest said, because you're not called to be burned by a candle. The Lord will make it possible and provide. Okay. 2021. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. Who's that?
John.
This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus after supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? Then Peter said to him, then Peter saw him. He's asked, Lord, what about him? Now, isn't that typical?
Yes.
You know, something happens and you go, well, what about him? I get called to go to Ethiopia. What about him? He's going to California. What about her? She's going to Magna.
I am not.
That's a typical response, isn't it? What about him? Okay. And Jesus says what? None of your business. In a polite way. That's none of your business. You're called to follow me, not him. You're called to follow me, not him. I said that. Okay, 22 and 23. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what I call him to do. That's none of your business. You go to Magna.
I'm not. In Jesus' name.
Okay. But it was, he says, if I want him to go. Okay. But he says, because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. Did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? He only said, if I want him to return, remain alive. And, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, strange, you know, John the Baptist, John met somebody, and, you know, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying, we need to look at our lives as in the realm of what Jesus is calling us to do. And do that, and do it well. If we're trying to do something that we're not called to do, guess what? We're not going to be successful at it.
Amen.
We're not going to be able to do it the right way.
Amen.
So we need to remember that. And 24 and 25, finishing off the chapter, this is the disciple, this is the testimony, witness, same thing, to those things, and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, you know, you think, oh, the whole world? But when John's writing, the Jewish people were looking in the concept of the Jewish kingdom being the world. That, you remember when Jonah took off and tried to get away, got on a boat? He went the other way to get out of the world where the spirit realm was, only to find out that Jesus and God extend all the way around, not just to the borders of Israel. But he said, you know, I want you to do that. And so, if it was, but he said, be a witness or testify. That calling, that challenge to be a witness is in the book of John 47 times.
Amen.
Think it must be important?
Yes.
Yeah. We're called to be a witness. When are we going to be a witness? Next weekend.
Every day.
Oh, let me see. Walk around backwards. Oh, wait a minute. Hi. Yeah. Yeah. Every time we see somebody, do a little spin, a pirouette.
Every time you see somebody.
Yeah.
What do you do if somebody said, "Where can I get a shirt?"
So I just stand there and spin. What was that?
So what are you gonna do if somebody says, "Where can I get a shirt like that?"
At a sacred place.
Sacred Light of Christ.
Yeah.
That's name right here. Or it's right here. If you feel forward, it's here. If you're backwards, it's here. And on the sleeve, yeah. The people who have, is that, you got it? Yeah, stand up. Get up. Now notice his, now don't, look. See, you have front, you have on the sleeve. Now stop. Notice that he has this.
I like that.
We don't. That's because he's special. I actually, you know why it's there? Because this was too low, so I needed to fill in space. Sometimes accidents are wonderful. Did you get it? Okay. So, the book of John is complete. At the end, John pulls it all together. They got discouraged. And he says, we will have times when we are discouraged. Jesus is going to be there. But he says, Jesus feeds us. Does Jesus feed us?
Absolutely.
Yep. He feeds us. All the time. They caught 153 fish. We're still fishing because we send money to EMI. Go downstairs and look on the bulletin board. There's a bulletin down there from them about things that are going on in EMI. And in that way, we can't forget. It says, don't forget. That's the whole message, isn't it? Don't forget. This is a reminder. Today's Memorial Day, a day we remember those who have gone on. These people went ahead of us.
Yes, they did.
They caught fish. They recorded it. What's that?
153
of them.
Fish.
Yeah. You know what? 153 dead fish. People who were dead to sin.
They were resuscitated.
Yeah. We're going to go Monday. Tomorrow, some of us are going to go visit graves.
Yep.
Now, we're going to go visit some graves that we haven't visited in a while. My grandparents on my dad's side. My sister and I were talking. Most of our relatives on that side are gone. Grandpa and grandma, they've been gone a long time. My grandfather died in the 60s.
In the 60s?
Mm-hmm. 66, 67. But grandma, she died in 1960.
That's
when you were born? Mm-hmm.
She's been gone 51 years.
Yeah. It's a while. But they had a legacy. They had things, people they met, people they caught, things that they did. We can't forget them because we don't know influence. We don't know all of that stuff. I went last week up to a grave of a friend that I knew back in the 50s, and she was 19 years old. She joined the military. She was in a car wreck and killed in 1959. I went up to see her, and I thought about it, and I thought, her parents are gone, and her siblings moved away. Nobody's going to go. So I went up and looked at her grave. She's still there. She's still there.
Are you sure she didn't get up and go?
You know? But see, the thing of it is, all we can remember is the things she did, because she's gone. We're not. We're still here. We still have that call to be fishers of men. That's where we're going to be next week. We're not going to be here.
Nope.
We're going to be down at Pride. And it may seem like a waste of time. It's not, because you know what? We don't know.
Exactly. Amen.
We don't know.
We don't.
And you know what? You may not even introduce the whole fish. Maybe it was a quarter.
But
that quarter was the start.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
And then Josh filled in another quarter. Isabella filled in another quarter. Auntie Kay filled in the next.
Yes, they did. An amazing team they made.
And then she was an evangelist who went to Africa and converted 1,000.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. You never know.
You never know. I've told the story before about we went to Taiwan, Kay and Karina and Bevan and I. We were over there and we went to a World Cup thing, and we were handed out construction paper brochures, handwritten. And it was interesting because we'd hand them this handwritten construction paper brochure. And I thought, you know, people are just going to throw them away comparing to what life is like here. So I walked around, not on the ground. I went and checked garbage cans. Not in the garbage cans. Thought, maybe they really took them home. And then a few years back, Gary was talking to Janet, and Janet related an incident where a family had came to church. They said, how did you hear about the church? He goes, a couple of years ago, you had these Caucasians here. You had these Caucasians here, and they gave us this. And we put it away, but we just found it. And it was like, whoa. One of those Caucasians gave it to us. A construction paper handout made by hand. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Fish on the right side of the boat. What's the right side? Where Jesus is.
Amen.
If we're trying to do it on our own, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. So I want you to close your eyes, take a minute, and think about what you're supposed to get out of this message. Ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to get from this? Okay, I ask you to ask the Holy Spirit. Interesting question. What's the Holy Spirit's name?
Counselor.
That's a description.
True.
God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when you say God, what am I supposed to get out of this? You're asking all three of them. Because they're all God. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you that we had this last chapter of John that pulls things together, Lord. And we can see that they got discouraged because they weren't completely set yet in what you had in mind. They thought they had lost their hope. They thought they had lost the vision. They thought they had lost the means of completing what you called them to do. They got discouraged and they tried to do it on their own. And God, we do those same things. And so help us to set that aside and remember that, you know, Lord, we try. We try. Help us to quit trying and to just do things that you called us to do. And Lord, we don't know how many fish have been caught because of us. But Lord, we know that you're always there. We don't know how many seeds have been planted. Maybe we haven't planted any seeds, but we've watered some.
Amen.
And you call us to do that. Next week, we're going to not be here, but we're going to be at Pride Day. Help us to make it a day of worship.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we say, well, how do you make it a day of worship when you're cromping around doing these things? We got shirts on, Lord, that let people know that you're here.
Yes, Father.
That let people know that you're alive. That let people know that they can put their trust in you. Because we have. And Lord, if we're faltering, stabilize us.
Yes.
And teach us to walk in your ways. We have your word, Lord, and it's so easy to just sit it on the shelf or on the bedside table and ignore it. Well, Lord, it's on tapes. We can listen to it. Help us understand it. And Lord, help us to understand each other. In a way that you want us to understand. Lord, strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen.